Good morning. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? Are you all enjoying this time of the year? Don't you love it? I love the fall. Are you getting out and doing your exercise and taking care of your booty do? So, I ran a race this week. Do what? Get you some? Yeah, I did. I ran a race in Dayton. Ghosts and Goblins is what the name of it was. You know, that it's for a good cause, but I just like to run. And so I didn't do my 30 miles this week, but I did run the race. So when I run a race, I go a little bit harder, so I kind of let my body rest a little bit. But my son and my daughter ran with me. And so it's kind of a family thing, you know. Zeta was there cheering me on, and it was kind of a neat thing. My son was ahead of me at the end, and my daughter was behind me. So, and I was in the middle, chugging along. Yeah. So, what we've been talking about? Prayer, humility, and then we've been talking about vision, right? And vision is one of the keys of the kingdom. It's one of the keys of the kingdom, not to the kingdom, one of the keys of the kingdom. Jesus said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. All right? Now, so if we're going to tap into the kingdom, he said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Remember, bind means to lock. Loose means to unlock. So if we're going to unlock the things of heaven and bring them to earth, we're going to have to understand some of these keys. And one of the keys is seeing, vision. Vision. Vision is, Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said, you must be born again to what? To see the kingdom. To see it. And he's really talking about vision there. Because it's spiritual. You can't see physically. It's spiritual. Remember, there's more really to the invisible world than there is to the physical when you really get into it. And so that's what, remember, our eye is nothing more than an organ. It's an organ. You can actually get someone else's eye, and if it's all done right, you can take somebody else's eye and you can see through it and work and live the rest of your life and have that looking through that eye. Because that eye is nothing more than an organ. You're on the inside looking out. The real you is on the inside. So the real you is not what you see in the mirror. The real you is on the inside. And that's what we want to, and that's where Jesus said the kingdom of God is. It's within us. Doesn't come with observation. It's within you. So that's what we want under his rule. We want the kingdom of God. We want what's inside of us to be under his rule. And that's what vision does. Where there's no vision, the people what? Perish. Remember that word perish means no restraints, without self-control, a lack of self-discipline. That's what the word perish means. No restraints, without self-control, a lack of discipline. So that's what we need more of on the inside of us to live out of this kingdom. And so if we can see it, then we can bring it to where we can really see it in our lives. Am I making sense? Because vision has a way of bringing discipline into your life. And we're going to talk about that today. So, if we can see this kingdom, folks, we're going to bring it and we're going to establish it here on earth. Our vision here is to what? Build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That vision, we believe here, we believe that vision is from God. And if you'll get that and begin to live by that, and see it, folks, it will bring restraints into your family, into your finances, into your life, into your health that we need. And see, that's what vision does. It brings restraints in those areas where we mess up. And if it's a vision from God, it brings it into the way God sees it. God wants to see it. You see that? And that's what we want. We want to get God's perspective. And He always works through vision. And so we're going to look today at Nehemiah. All right, what about these elections? What about this election stuff? It's coming up. You're tired of looking at them mugs on TV, aren't you? They're ubiquitous, aren't they? They're everywhere. I like that word. I had to say it, ubiquitous. It means everywhere. Every time you look on TV, there they are. One's knocking the other, or you know. But you know what? No matter what, after Tuesday, things aren't going to change, are they? That's why you can't be putting any faith in the United States. You need to vote. You really need to vote. Shame on you if you don't vote. You need to vote. But you need to vote what you believe. What the Bible says, the closest to it, that's what you need to vote. You know, don't be listening to all this stuff about, you know, the economy. And he's going to take the economy and change it and it's going to be all, You listen to the Word of God and vote what the Bible says, right? I'm just trying to help you out a little bit. I would tell you who I'm voting for, but I don't want to create a bunch of stuff. So we'll just keep it at that, all right? Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 2. Can you see the kingdom? Nehemiah chapter 2. Now Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. He was the one that would drink everything before the king would drink it, in case it was poisoned. He was to serving the king. And so he got orders to go and rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. And he got a vision for it. Because you're going to see. Okay? Verse 17. Then I said to them, "You see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach." Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Father, for everyone that's here. We ask, Father, that you continue to give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Father, that you continue to reveal to each of us who we are. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we do. We put this election in your hands. We trust, Lord, that the one who's going to get in there is the one that you've chosen. Because you said all authority has been established by God. And if the one that's in there shows up, then we think he's wrong. We know it's not wrong because you put him there. We need to learn something from that. So, Father, we thank you for that. And we trust in you, Lord. Because, Lord, we know we are dependent on your kingdom. And because we are citizens of heaven. Father, we thank you that we are gathered here this morning. We are gathered here to receive revelation, knowledge, and understanding of who we are. Now reveal it to us, Lord. Teach us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, forever. Amen and amen. All right. Now, he says, Nehemiah was going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. All right? The walls were protection. And it protect what went in the city and what went out of the city. So There was no protection. But you know what? Here it is. What was the problem? First, verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in. Let's parallel that to what's going on in our world today. Do you see the distress that the people are in today? Everywhere you go, people are complaining about the economy, complaining about this and that. People are stressed out, aren't they? You see, that's the problem. That's the problem. Do you see this? Then it says that the gates are burned with fire. That means there's no real authority. Gates represent authority. What went into the city and what went out of the city. The word gates literally means authority. And the gates of hell will not prevail against. The authorities of hell will not prevail against the church. So there was no true authority going on. And that's why everything was in disarray. That's why they had the problems. Now look what he says. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is... Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. He was going to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. You see that? He was going to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. So the idea is, the problem was, the people were distressed. The solution was to rebuild. To rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. We are the new Jerusalem. We are. That's what we're called in the Bible. We're the new Jerusalem. And so, what's this saying to us? We're to rebuild our lives according to God's way. You see that? With His authority in place. Now, why? Why? What's the reason why? Here's the reason why. That we would no longer be a reproach. That we would no longer... The church has become a reproach. The word reproach means disgrace. Disgrace. When people talk about church, they talk negative about going to church because they see it as a place of disgrace. But you see what God is doing is He's raising up people who are going to understand, and it's going to become a place of grace. You see that? We're a people that are going to truly be rebuilding their lives according to His Word. And it's going to be a place of grace. Remember, we're full of grace and full of truth. Remember? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. We're the body of Christ. That's the church. We're full of grace and full of truth. And that's what He's looking. That's what God is doing in His church. Is He's people are coming to the knowledge of the truth, and they're extending grace to one another. Wherever God is moving, there's no judging and critical and condemning thinking and speaking of others. Because where that's taking place, you're tearing people down. There's no authority there. You're taking it in your own hands, because everything God says is we're to speak out of our mouth is that which edifies, rebuilds, restores, and remodels. That's what we're to be speaking. So that's what God is doing in His church. Now, and vision, Nehemiah had a vision. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Nehemiah had a vision. There is more crime right now. Crime has gone up. Every time there's an election, crime goes up. History says that and shows that, teaches us that. Why? Because there's no real vision. There's no restraints. People get different around these elections because there's no true vision. There's someone else is going to show up in the office, right? Another vision is coming on the scene. There's no real vision. See, that's why we got to understand that what we need will be provided by the kingdom of God. It's not going to be provided by the United States government. There is more than enough money in the world. Do you hear me? It's just in the wrong hands. And as we grow in our understanding of the kingdom, it's going to be in our hands. People are going to want to come to church because they see something in you. You're not going to be complaining and murmuring about the economy and all the... No. Why? It says in Philippians chapter 2, 14 and 15, do what? Do all things without murmuring and complaining and fault finding, that you may be found blameless and harmless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you will shine as lights in this world. Just by not complaining, you're shining. Just by not joining in, oh, the economy is just so bad. Just by you not getting involved in that, you're different. You know what? And you, because now you're living out of the kingdom, what's in you, right? And that's what you're to live out of. And folks, the more we practice this, and the more we grow in our understanding of it, you're going to see it begin to really manifest in your life. But see, that's why we got to keep this environment. We got to stay connected in the body of Christ. We got to continue to hear God's word. We got to continue to apply God's word. And we got to keep moving and seeing the vision. Now, think about this. We're talking about vision again today. Everybody say vision. Vision is also the word revelation, right? Vision and revelation are synonymous. So revelation means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. So when we have vision and revelation, we're getting direction. We're getting direction. And so when we have vision, we can see where we're going. Now, think about this. The power of vision. There was this father and her and his daughter. His family was on a ship, a cruise ship, and they were on this cruise ship, and they were out way out in the ocean. And so they're on this ship, and everybody's looking out over the railing of the ship, and talking about how beautiful it is. And the little girl keeps pulling on her daddy's leg, and she says, "Daddy, Daddy, I can't see anything." And so he puts her up on his shoulders, and she looks out. She says, "Daddy, I can see farther than my eyes can look." That's vision. See, that's vision. And the Bible says that the government is upon his shoulders. The kingdom of God is upon the shoulders of Jesus. You know, that's what we need to get on his shoulders once in a while and take a look, don't we? Because we'll see the kingdom. We can see farther than our eyes can look. Now watch this. Vision is seeing the future before it comes into being. Vision is seeing the future before it comes into being. One of the greatest gifts God has given is vision. But one of the other greatest gifts is the power of choice. The power of choice. Everybody say the power of choice. The average person makes 7 to 10,000 decisions a day. Think about that. A day. You had to make a decision to pull the covers off this morning. You had to make a decision to get up and take a shower. I hope y'all took a shower. You had to make a decision to, you know, look how many decisions you made just to get here. The average person makes 7 to 10,000 decisions a day. One of life's biggest challenges is not to make a decision, but to make the right decisions. To make the right decisions. Every decision determines your future. You are the sum total of the decisions you have made. You are the sum total of the decisions you have made. 1 Corinthians 6:12 in the NIV version says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. But I will not be mastered by any." But I will not be mastered by any. Mine says, "But I will not come under the power of any." Everything is permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Right? Where do I get the foundation for my decisions for life? Where do I get the foundations for my decisions? We get them from God's Word, right? That's where we get our decisions, the foundation for our decisions for life. If you want to make good decisions, you must get the right information. The right information. Discipline is created by the power of choice. Discipline is created by the power of choice. The word beneficial means this. In other words, remember, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Beneficial is anything that contributes to your ultimate desire. Anything that contributes to your ultimate desire. Now, let's just say you have a desire to lose 100 pounds. So, maybe if you're a woman, you wear a size 18. I don't know what that is. Maybe if you're a man, you have a 48 waist. I know that's considerable bigger than what I've got, but, you know, I'm trying to bring this in a practical, right? Now think about this. So, when you go out to eat, there's a lot of choices. When you go to the Golden Corral, maybe none of you have been there, but it's a smorgasbord type place, right? There's a lot of choices to make. Am I right? Now, everything is permissible, right? But not all is beneficial. You see, if you see yourself 100 pounds lighter, or if you're a size 18, you see yourself in a size 9, if you have that vision, when you walk in and all that food is just glistening and looking at you and saying things to you, it's not going to be a problem. Because you have already made up your mind. You got a vision of what you want, your ultimate desire, right? Your decisions are about what you're going to eat is already made when you walk in there. Come on. Is this right or wrong? Is this truth? When you have a vision, you see, that chocolate pie, you know, a lot of times, I remember I used to go to those places, and I would go up for my dessert, and I'd say, I'm just going to try one of everything. Man, I come back with a plate, you know, and then I look up, and it's gone. I didn't have any real vision of what I wanted to look like. You all still love me? This is the way it works. Vision brings restraint. It brings discipline. It brings self-discipline. Boy. Your decisions are totally at the mercy of your vision. The way you see yourself, your decisions that you make in life are totally at the mercy of your vision. Now think about this. See what happens when you go into a place like that and you don't have a vision? The food's just going to perish. Right? There's going to be all kinds of stuff hollering at you. from all directions, right? The food's going to perish. No restraints. Come on over here. Eat this, eat this, eat this, right? And you're just going to be busting it up. But when you have vision, it brings restraints. Now think about this. Where there's no self-discipline, get this, there will be other discipline. Where there's no self-discipline, there must be others' discipline. Did you hear that? You see, that's why when we don't really watch what we eat and we just live a life that's loose, you know, we'll end up going to a doctor and a doctor will have to tell you what to eat. Come on now. Am I talking to the right people? But you see, folks, when you have a vision, it starts to work in your life. Same way in your finances. If you have a vision of where you want to go in your finances, you see that? You'll start, you're not going to be a spendthrift. You're not just going to go spend and buy and see everything you want and go to the mall and just come home with all this stuff that you really didn't need. Am I making sense today? When you have a vision, you see, someone else will make that decision. You'll have to go maybe to the bankruptcy court. Others discipline when you don't have self-discipline. Now think about this. I like this. This is the meaning of discipline. Listen to this. Self-discipline is self-imposed standards and restrictions motivated by a desire that is greater than all the alternatives. I'm going to say it again. Discipline is self-imposed standards and restrictions motivated by a desire that is greater than all the alternatives. Let me say that again. I think you need to hear that again. Discipline is self-imposed standards and restrictions motivated by a desire that is greater than all the alternatives. You must police yourself. When you don't police yourself, when you are not self-disciplined, you will be others' disciplined. Okay. Now, when Nehemiah saw that they were in distress, what did he say? He says, we must rebuild. So if we're going to rebuild, we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to get the truth on the matter, right? Am I right about it? See, if we're living in distress and things are no restraints, but if we have vision, it's going to bring restraints to our lives, right? And so he began to rebuild the wall. So the idea is we need to begin to rebuild our lives according to God's word. That's the idea. And that's the solution. That's the solution. When we begin to rebuild our lives according to God's word, folks, and we see it, then he's actually revealing the truth about you. Remember? Remember, and we humble ourselves and we pray and we get into God's word. Remember, what's humble mean? Humble is taken from the word humus. And the word humus is the word earthy. And the word earthy means real. So when you're becoming real, when you're becoming the real you, it takes you being humble. And so that's what God is calling us to be humble. And as we're humble, we're going to receive the truth because we believe the truth. It takes humility to believe what God says about you. Remember, if you're self-confident, remember that's what self-confidence is. I'm now confident in who I am becoming and who I am. I'm saying to myself what God says about me, not what others are saying about me. See, that's what self-confidence is. Now I'm speaking to myself what God says about me, not what other people say about me. I'm beginning to grow and understand the truth, right? Jesus said, if If is a condition, if you abide in my word, in John chapter 8, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free to do what? Free to be me. As I grow in the truth, now I'm understanding who I am. I'm becoming self-confident. It's never easy to discover the real you. It's always going to be painful because it's always going to require change. But that's why we need an environment where we can come and grace is extended to empower what truth demands. Because truth demands change, right? Now think about this. I'm so excited. Think about this. Truth, all right? Now, here it is. In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, it says this: with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish. What's the word perish mean? No restraints, no self-discipline, a lack of self-control. That they might be saved. Because why? They did not receive the love of the truth. You see that? They had no discipline. They had no restraints. And that's why they were perishing. Because they didn't receive the love of the truth. When you receive the love of the truth and you really love the truth, that's when you're being saved. Does that make sense? See, when you have some self-discipline and some restraints and you got the truth in the mix, now salvation is coming. Am I making sense? Come on now, help me out. It takes, when you're discovering the real you, it's going to take discipline, it's going to take restraints, and it's going to take self-control to find out truly who you are. And that's why he says, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Watch this. Verse 11. Therefore, God, who? Everybody say it. God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. God will make sure you believe the lie that you want. He'll give you what you want. Why? Because he's given you the power of choice. He's given you the power of choice. And when you don't choose his way, you've chosen your way. And that's the power of choice. God will let you believe a lie. God will send you a delusion. He'll keep sending stuff your way to make sure you get what you want. Come on now. God will send a strong delusion that you should believe a lie. Oh. Why? Because you did not have a love of the truth, but your pleasure was in unrighteousness. See? We're going to have a love for the truth of who we are and discovering that. And that's what happens in the body of Christ. We really begin to discover who we are. And that's why people get hurt and they run away before they ever really become who they really are. And that's why we got to have the grace to keep giving people and letting them know they're loved here and we have grace for them and we're not going to judge them and criticize and condemn them. Because that's disgrace, right? That's why the church had become a disgrace. We're going to be a place of grace. We're going to keep extending grace when people get hurt and wounded. And am I making sense? Come on, am I? Okay, but now think about this. So they have a love for the truth. That's why the people of God are going to be people who have a love for the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that men will have when there's perilous times, we are in perilous times. It says men will have a form of godliness, but they will deny his power, always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They deny his power according to the power that works in you. Where's the power at? It's in you. They're denying what's in them, what's in you. You see that? They have a form of godliness, but they deny his power. They're denying the kingdom of God that's in them. And they're looking out here for power and for all that they need in life, when it's really within them. They're denying the power. They have a form of godliness, but they deny his power. Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "For this is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." All, how many men? All men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, God is calling you and I to get our lives and act together so we can help others come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Am I making sense? Is this making sense? But it takes discipline. It takes self-control, and it takes restraints. And that's what vision brings to us. That's what vision brings to us. Can you see it? Can you see it? Now watch this. Look at this. That they would no longer be a reproach. Remember, no grace, disgrace. When we're rebuilding our lives according to God's word, the truth. The Bible says, love rejoices in the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. What's it rejoice in? Love, right? We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. You're to love yourself, neighbor, as yourself, right? You can't walk in love without the truth. You see this? Come on, is this making sense? Love rejoices. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. Remember, iniquity is the patterns that have been passed on to you as from your family as far back as 3 and 4 generations. But now those things are changing in me. I'm breaking those patterns, right? I'm making right choices because I am in a place of grace and I am receiving the truth of God's word into my life and I'm making right decisions. That's why he says, "I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants and your children may live the life that God has called and created them to live." I know I'm preaching right now, but folks, that we got to do something, right? And when we make right choices, now it's affecting our children. You see, we wonder why our children are going in the direction they're going. It's because of what we're doing. It's learned behavior. Is this making sense? I keep saying that. But it's got to make sense. Do you see it? Oh, man. Can you see the kingdom? Folks, listen to me. We don't have anything to worry about. Just say, I'm not worried. You see, when you understand, you see the kingdom, you're going to see people in a whole nother way. I remember reading about this in Bangkok, China, this monastery, and I've shared this before, but I think it's important to repeat. And it was a Buddhist monastery. And so they were going to run this freeway through Bangkok, Thailand. And so they got these cranes and everything, and they moved this Buddhist temple. And there was this 11-foot Buddha out in front of the temple, and it was covered in clay, like a hard rock material. And when they began to move it, they lifted it up, it cracked, and pieces broke off. And when they set it down, more of it broke off. And the construction workers saw something was special about this Buddha, and they got to looking at it, and they had people come in and test it, and it was solid gold. And its worth is valued at over $200 million. That was in 1957 they discovered that. People come from all over the world just to see that Buddha because of its value. But they could never see it before when it was all covered up. You see, that's the way our lives are. Our lives are covered with a lot of things that we've learned from other people and other things that have taught us and we've learned in life by our environment. And we're covered. And that's why we have to uncover who you really are. You see? And then when you begin to see things, you begin to see people, now you're going to see people as valuable. You're going to see the gold in people. You're going to see the gold in people no matter if they just got out of prison or if they're in prison. You're going to see the people, if it's a prostitute, you're going to see the gold in the prostitute walking down the street. It changes the way you see things. Am I making sense? You'll see the value in people. And that's what the church is going to bring out, that value that is in people. And your value is in your gift. And that's what the church is. It's a place to bring out your gifts. And you can become what God has created you to be. The church is the hope of the world. Say that. The church is the hope of the world. It is. It's the hope of the world. And we're in it. Aren't you excited? I'll tell you what, I'm excited. Some of you don't look all excited. It's time to get excited. Because look, folks, don't look at the things that are seen. See, that's the gift that God has given us, to live by vision and not by just what we see. Because if we live just by what we see, the Polish lady, what's her name? Cori Ten Boom. I'm not making fun of Polish people. I remember she was Polish. So she said, if you look down, you'll be depressed. If you look around, if you look down, you'll be oppressed. If you look around, you'll be depressed. But if you look up, you will be refreshed. Right? And so we're going to keep looking up. We're going to keep discovering who we are. And we're going to become who we really are. Real people. The real you is coming out. It's going to take being humble, isn't it? In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and repent of their wicked ways, I will hear them and their land will be healed. They're going to be healed. Starts with being humble. What's humble? Being real. No longer religious. No longer steeped in tradition. Becoming the real you. Oh, doesn't that make sense? Don't you want to be you? Everybody say, I like you. Now look at your neighbor and say, I can see the real thing in there. Come on now, come on. It's in there. Folks, listen to me. Don't let everything that's going around discourage you from what God is trying to show you about you. Because if you do, you're just going to be covered in junk. And that gold is never going to come out of there. You're going to stay put. And nothing's ever going to move you. I tell you what, I've seen it in my family. I don't want to go there. I want to be who I have been created to be. Don't you? All right. We are going to take communion today. Vision demands loyalty to a cause beyond your comfort. Write that down. Vision demands loyalty to a cause beyond your comfort. Write that down. Vision demands loyalty to a cause beyond your comfort. Write that down. Vision demands loyalty to a cause beyond your comfort. Folks, listen to me. When you understand that, you're going to look back and say, man, this is working. This is real. This is real. Because look, when you have a cause, we're about the cause of Christ, the cause of advancing the kingdom of God. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable. God isn't concerned with your comfort, right? He's not. He's concerned with you becoming who you are so he can use you here on this planet. We making sense? All right. Now, so what was the problem? We're about done. What was the problem? The people were in distress, right? And the gates were on fire. There was no authority. What's the solution? To rebuild the wall. What was the reason why? That they would no longer be a disgrace. What's the problem? People are in distress. What's our solution? To rebuild our lives according to God's word, the way he created us, right? So we can be a place and a people of grace, extending grace to others. You see this? The church is the hope of the world. We are going to take communion. And the people that are helping me this morning, could you come forward?